Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I am your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 24th on the West Coast, now February the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Of course, that's over the airwaves. For those of you who have tried to find Wind Talkers on the internet, you're not going to do that. You have to be in an area where one of their network members is actually broadcasting the show, and that's virtually all over the planet. So we're happy to have them with us. What's going on in the world? Well, there are stories that the U.S. Air Force is rescuing victims in New Zealand. If that's really occurring, that's good news. It's amazing that they didn't come to the rescue of anyone on 9/11, when I think about it. Or New Orleans, when we had Hurricane Katrina. Where was the Air Force then? Or Oklahoma City? Or Waco? Why weren't people being rescued? Why were people being murdered senselessly? That's just part of what's going on. And it's like a broken record. It's a story that just keeps repeating itself and repeating itself. And people are being swept up with chaos and fear and innuendo and lies and all kinds of draconian legislation that's all null and void because it's being created by infiltrators, usurpers, people that can't even prove they're human beings. Think about that. And these conditions and these events that have been occurring are starting to catch up with the everyday consciousness of the average person out there on the street. And while you consider that, consider in your own mind some of the things that have gone on, what you might do to right the wrongs that are being committed against humanity, and listen to a street rhyme.
Thank you.
Boy, if the music of Mike Stern and Street Rhyme can't make you tap your toes and feel good despite what's going on in the world, I don't know what can. This music is heard throughout the galaxy of Hendon as we speak, and I hope our friends out there who are laboring diligently in our behalf are enjoying at least the opening of tonight's show, and hopefully the rest of it. I'm about to bring our guests on board. Our first guest hosts a website, educate-yourself.org, one of the most popular sites in the world. And we've got him with us tonight. He himself is a researcher, a journalist, an essayist, and a metaphysician, and a counselor to many, many troubled people around the world, my good friend Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much.
Nice to have you with us. I'm going to go ahead and bring our second guest on so we can all say hello to each other at the same time and get that out of the way. He is also an essayist, and his work is featured at educate-yourself.org. Metaphysician, intuitive, par excellence, we'll say, my good friend from Canada, Zuranova Star Livingstone. ZS, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don.
Nice to have you both with us. How do you like the music so far tonight? Does it make you feel like tapping your toes and getting up?
Yeah, very, very perky. perky.
Outside the box, too.
Yes, it is.
Very outside the box, and that's why I played it. It's outside the box. It lets you feel the rhythm of the universe without the cliches.
Mm-hmm.
Very creative. Michael Stern is an awesome guitarist and awesome composer, and he's doing the scatting while he's playing, too.
Oh.
Very, very good. Gentlemen, on our last few shows, we've been talking about all sorts of things, false flag events and our interpretations of what's going on. Anything on either one of your hearts that you want to bring up for discussion tonight?
Well, I'd like to perhaps talk about a few areas. One is the nature of creativity. Last night I listened to your show with Christopher Holmes, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening to what Christopher had to say. He, his observations, as were yours, were right on the money as to the nature of who we're dealing with in the New World Order and the nature of their criminality and their amoral conduct. It's complete. It couldn't be any more grotesque than what we're experiencing. So he saw it correctly, and I was just gratified to hear him just repeating what we all know to be true, but nevertheless hearing it from another person is still satisfying in a way. You made a remark to him. We were talking about curbing rain in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind what you said. You had said essentially that you can steer the course of weather by your will, by your volition. And, of course, I have frequently put that idea to words on my website. I've said many times it's not my idea. It's merely a metaphysical observation, but I believe it's true, that you can create with your mind. Thoughts can create reality, and that the more vigorous, let's say, the thought process is, typically in obtaining something via this process to create something, we normally couple a thought with an emotion. It seems that the power of emotions seem to act like a carrier wave, if you will. And if the person who is trying to achieve something through his thoughts is very, let's say, laid back about it, not committed to it, very lackadaisical, let's say, or doing it in a very mild-mannered way without any real, you know, emotional commitment behind it, it doesn't carry the signal nearly as well as when you couple it with emotion. Now, the emotion could be one of, wanting to stop the New World Order, so it could be based on anger. But the most important, powerful emotion is the emotion of love. It's a feeling that you can use to sort of direct your thoughts into creating the world that you like to experience. Now, if more people were to merely as an experiment try to simply use their mind and, for instance, try to direct the course of weather, either to, let's say, stop rain or to have it steer north, like you were mentioning in your response to Christopher, or perhaps bring rain. Some of those parts of the world where there are droughts, you can call for rain. And you can ask your spiritual helpers to assist you in this endeavor, and you can essentially talk to your higher self. And your higher self has a communication channel to other beings in the universe who can, let's say, speed up the action or help in the call. But when you're, let's say, experiencing rough weather, too rough, perhaps it's raining too hard or too long, or it's snowing too much, or the wind's howling too strong, instead of merely accepting the weather and saying, gee, this is terrible, you know, express a thought to try to change the weather. In other words, you won't know it can possibly work unless you try it. So that's the first thought I wanted to get out. I'm just using the weather as an example.
Mm-hmm.
This can apply to anything.
Can I comment on what you just said?
Yeah.
Okay. May I comment on what you said? We got that straight. Okay. You give me permission. I once prayed to God for the knowledge about the nature of the weather we're having, because I felt in my spirit that this is all unnatural, that this is being orchestrated, because nature in and of itself is not destructive in the universal sense, in terms of the creation. Nature is an ever-evolving entity or being, if you want to use that term. It permeates everything. Why does it have to be destructive on planet Earth? What's causing it to be destructive? And I said, well, God, if you are capable of stopping this, why don't you command it to stop? And he said, well, you're capable of doing it too. Why should I do for you what you can do yourself? Now, that I didn't hear the voice of God, but that understanding, that response flowed through my being. And so I looked at it and I said, well, he said command. So I command the weather to do that. Well, if it's going to be violent and destructive, I command it to go elsewhere. Now, I spoke to someone just this evening who told me that they had prayed that a tornado leave their area. It was coming upon them. It was very near to where they were, and it left. They commanded it to leave. So I'm not the only one that's doing this, but it's a demonstration of this ability that we all have. The difference is I'm using it and a lot of others aren't. So that's my comment, Ken. You know, didn't want to interrupt you.
Good point. And you just said it right there. You use it and others don't. So,
and can you speak up a little bit louder, please?
Yes. Your last statement says it all. You use it and others don't. And that's the point of starting with this discussion. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to create. And if you don't use it, you can't take advantage of it. If you merely accept whatever conditions that are being forced upon you, whether it's by the New World Order gang trying to turn this country into a police state, whether it's some injustice in some quarter of your life, or even if it's, let's say, a health malady, if you don't apply the principle of creative thought, you won't gain any benefit from it. So you have to try it in order to see whether it works. Now, a one-time trial is not what I'm talking about. The principle is true. The idea is true. We do create reality with our thoughts. The more you think of it, of whatever you're trying to create, the more energy you're giving into it. The more people who join with you with the same thought, the greater the energy is and the more quickly, usually, that the change occurs in the direction that you want it to go.
Yeah, and I think it's totally dependent upon the approach. If you're fearful or you're apathetic or lazy about it, you are merely accepting the reality presented to you, which is one of illusion. That's basically what Christopher and I talked about. And we've all talked about that on past shows. So the key is to be able to focus on something that can be real, that is within your grasp. But you have to take a proactive approach to creating it. We've been allowing others to create the reality for us, and we have what they've created. Right. And it's very destructive, isn't it? It's not rewarding. It's not enriching anyone except those that run it. And I don't mean in a financial sense. I'm talking about the power that's being manifested. And it's being used for negative purposes, for destructive purposes, counter to the creation. It's the opposite of what we can do.
Absolutely. So another area to consider is that what you allow yourself and your loved ones to be exposed to, especially children, makes a difference on the creative force that will emanate from their thoughts. Do not allow your kids to be influenced by destructive movies, by destructive music, by negative music, by horror films. Anything that has a theme of destruction is going to reverberate within you, consciously or subconsciously. It has the greatest impact on kids. So the horror film industry has a much darker purpose behind it. Now, I can remember, you know, some people, particularly if you recall movies, we had a type of horror film in the 30s and 40s, Frankenstein and the Wolfman, and that
Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
Yeah, they were scary, but they weren't gory. They weren't, you know, especially gory.
Yeah.
In the 50s, horror movies sort of intensified in gore. And by the 60s and 70s and 80s, the gore just went off, the visual gore just went off the chart, you know. Texas Chainsaw Murders and that type of stuff.
Yeah, you have to see the blood spewing out of the victim and the head being chopped off and body parts. And yeah, now, very graphic.
People who make those films are really working for the Luciferian agenda. Of course they're making money. That's why they do it. They always do it for that reason. But there's always this darker emphasis going on in the background. Now, I didn't know that when I was younger, but I know it now. And therefore, parents should know that television shows, if you're still watching television, I haven't seen TV since they turned off the analog transmitters, and I don't miss it. However, if you are watching it, don't allow yourself or your kids to watch programs that are overall negative in character. These dog-eat-dog shows, reality shows are what I'm talking about. It's an example of dwelling on the worst in human nature. It's sort of encouraging people to behave in a dog-eat-dog fashion. All this is intentional because we create or allow, let's say, the dark side to have their way with us because we allow ourselves to be influenced by their movies, their music, their television shows, their news, you know, the stuff that we get on the news, the doom and gloom promoters on the internet that I often remark about. These groups are working on behalf of the Luciferian agenda. You have to remember that. It's okay to be informed so you know what they're up to and what they're doing, but you should not view it as entertainment. It's they're trying to mold your thoughts to fit their agenda, which is death and destruction. By thinking things positive, thinking about the political defeat of the politicians in Washington who are enabling the New World Order, thinking about that daily and doing something proactive, organize with people in your neighborhood, start getting involved in the political process. You can, doesn't take that long to get involved, to become involved in local state politics. You can get to be a delegate to the state convention. You can have a say in who's being nominated. We should try to look for anti-New World Order candidates, men and women of morality and character. We shouldn't postpone this. It'd be a good idea to put some decent people in the next election in 2012. And we have to get rid of those who have done so much to damage this country. The people who vote for the Patriot Acts or the Military Commissions Acts or any of these anti-constitutional things, who vote for that food safety bill, these people need to be removed from office. They're traitors. They're trying to destroy the country. So
they are destroying it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main thing I wanted to bring up in my talk here, is that use your mind and your thoughts in a creative way for anything. Positive affirmations is merely a repetition in your mind of the way you want something to turn out. If you have a health problem, get in a quiet meditative state and for 15 or 20 minutes, silently repeat to yourself that you are becoming free of the malady. Many people have cured themselves of cancer using their own mind alone.
Yeah, so that really comes from the heart.
Absolutely, but this can apply to anything. We can create reality with our thoughts. So avoid negative, destructive thoughts and the emotions that, you know, engender them, and emphasize and concentrate on overcoming all manifestations of the New World Order. We have a lot of corrupt officials now in every area of official life. People who should be enforcing the law are breaking the law. The highest political leaders are as corrupt as you can possibly be. And we have a Justice Department, we have an FBI that's not serving justice or the Constitution or any of the right things they ought to be serving. They're in bed with these corrupt forces, the CIA, it's et cetera. Oh, by the way, Japan, I just read on a news article, is now talking about forming a new spy agency based on the CIA and, MI5, MI6. If anyone in Japan is hearing this, please, I hope the Japanese populace gets wind of this and takes action quickly to stop that from happening. Nothing has aided in the destruction of the United States and the people and the Constitution than the CIA, and I could say the same thing for Britain with MI5, MI6. These agencies are at the heart of wickedness, skullduggery, and negative conduct. And the Japanese people and the, you know, Japanese life is much more civil than it is here, and it's much more less corrupt than it is here by a large margin. And I hate to see them go down the route of based on the fear of China or North Korea. They can have intelligence. They already have intelligence services with their military. They don't need a giant spy agency so they can do as much destruction and events as the CIA or MI6.
This is all brought about, Ken, by who's at the helm in each country. These decisions are made by the same group, putting economic pressure or threats of dragging another country into a war or cutting off funding or cutting off the trade routes, those kinds of things. It's been going on for thousands of years, the same things. Just right now, there's technology involved. That's the difference. But at the same time, people are here to awaken to these things, not just here in America, everywhere. Not that I want to change gears here, but we have another guest who's been waiting very quietly.
Yeah, I pretty much did want to finish up with that. ZSL has some very interesting news that he'll bring forth in his half of the show. So I'll be here, Don, but I like to hear ZS.
Okay. ZS, do you want to comment on what Ken and I were talking about?
Right. Individual responsibility for and just accepting your own ability to change the weather is a breakthrough thought for most people. Most people are so brainwashed and disenfranchised into understanding what their spiritual power is.
Yes. Yes. Can you speak up a little bit more, please? Maybe position your mic a little closer.
Yeah.
All right.
I tilted it up.
Okay. Thank you.
So the people have the power to change the weather like you do, like Ken does. I've demonstrated for my own see that I could do it, and I could do it. And in communicating with the Mother Earth and coordinating with her as to what is the best weather, I came to realize how the air elementals work with the weather, and that it was work, it's best to work in love, in conjunction with the sylphs, or as the natives call them, the thunderbirds, and become a grounding point for the energy, for the physical, bringing through the physical body the energy which they need in order to do their work, their transmuting work in the atmosphere, moving chemtrails or moving thunderstorms in, or moving around to meet the needs of the greatest good for the greatest number of people and the kingdom, animal, plant kingdoms on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that responsibility given to them by Mother Earth. And the good news, which Ken's and I've been talking about for the last month or so, is that their ability is now increasing.
Their meaning the elements.
The elementals, all the elementals, the air, the water, the earth, fire elemental. And it's of the nature of the fire elemental that's spreading out, and the air is picking it up, and the water elementals are picking up as well, and receiving through the aegis of Mother Earth and also from the sun, etheric coronal elements, which is something which they had thousands of years ago, but was taken from them by the conquest of the planet by the reptilians, who stole the substance, the golden fleece, Jason's golden fleece, or the power, the burning bush, the same, the power of the Ark of the Covenant. So it is actually the swamp gas, which they've mentioned since the 1950s as something to persuade people that the UFO that they just saw is not a UFO, it's swamp gas. But swamp gas is something important.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as you're speaking, I'm getting images of the people that are maybe hearing this for the first time, elementals in terms of the indigenous people here in America were known, and they were I don't want to say they were worshipped, but they were honored.
They're brothers and sisters.
Yes. And when you take oil out of the ground, you're removing elementals and minerals. When you take minerals and metals out of the ground, all of these things have nature or nature spirit in them. And the elementals are assigned to those particular areas where they exist. They're sort of, if you want to use the term, grounding. Now, that's difficult for a lot of people. What are you saying? Are you saying gold is alive? Well, yes, actually, gold is alive. It grows. Right. Why can't it have some essence of something living associated with it? When you take these things out of the ground, they're now up on the surface, and that makes for a chaotic situation, doesn't it?
Yes, there's toxicities there. And gold actually does work with the elemental or the etheric coronal elements, and mm-hmm. is actually important in working with it. About 200 years ago, after the rediscovery of Pompeii, and a lot of archaeologists started digging into Italy, and they went into some of the old ancient Roman tombs. And inside the tombs, they found these lamps which had been buried like 1600 years earlier, and they were still glowing. They were called inextinguishable lamps, and there was a lot of written on them, and there was also attempts to make these lamps again. And of course, they would probably be using asbestos and whale oil, but huge supplies of whale oil, but these lamps were globes, about 10 inches in diameter, glass, and they emitted light. And they were not connected to any power source. They just continuously emitted light. And what they had in them was a very fine membrane of gold on the inside of the glass, and an ounce of the light of the sun, or the heat of the sun, etheric coronal elements, spelling it A-E-T-H-E-R-I-C, the old way, the acronym comes out A-C-E, and I've written many essays on the substance. And it is a fourth dimensional substance. It is also, I believe it's the 25th, 26th, and 27th elements on the fourth dimensional periodic table. And it is permanently ionized in the same way that the ferromagnetic elements in our dimension are permanently magnetically ionized, and our energy portals or doorways, which those people are working with over unity magnetic engines, are finding that it's a permanent source of energy. And the energy is actually coming from higher dimensions, and it's precipitating drops from one dimension to the next dimension following an ionization. Have a magnet, and you pass it by, you spin it around past a wire, it will discharge or cause electrons to move at 90 degrees to the magnetic field. Reversing that, if you have electrons moving in a wire, you're generating a magnetic field 90 degrees to the flow of electricity. And the light of the etheric coronal elements is actually fifth dimensional energy ionized, causing a magnetic ionization in the fourth dimension, and then in turn causing ionization of light into electromagnetic emission of light into the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And
In a past show, yes, that I did with scientist inventor Jim Murray, we were talking about how Nikola Tesla discovered that even though he was passing electricity through a wire from, say, point A to point B, there was actually electricity in the air that was moving in the same direction,
yes,
but outside of the wire.
Right.
Totally
outside. Electromagnetic force, EMF. There's a fourth dimensional effect, which is always in working hand in hand with the electrical action. Of course, we put meters and gauges on the electrical flow, but we're not recording what's happening magnetically. Mm. There's an equal or greater amount of energy flowing around the wire than flowing in the wire.
Yes.
And people working with, William Baumgartner and others, who just passed away in here in Salmon Arm, were working with roll mag machines and working with what they call cold electricity, and were able to get over unity energy coming through when you get the magnets perfectly balanced. With the etheric coronal elements, I'm going back to a very the actual technology which nature uses to empower all the plants, animals, and humans, and provide energy constantly, where you don't need to build a dam or mine coal or dig up uranium in order to generate electricity. You always have it with you at that point. And when Moses saw the burning bush, he was seeing a little bit of sun sitting in a bush in the Sinai area, and it was emanating light.
Mm-hmm.
He trained in the Egyptian ways of magic and also the pharaonic traditions of that time, could understand that he was seeing a power source which he could use, and he could use better than any other person on the planet at that time. And he is the one who built the Ark of the Covenant, which was a communication device to our galactic brotherhood and sisterhood. And he was able to hold on to it, even though the reptilians who were stealing it away from the planet and disenfranchising the king, animal and plant kingdoms, and taking their light source from first an alternate. There's actually two routes of light into the body, one through the consciousness, through the top of the head, through the chakra system. Then we're also fed through downstepping of energy through the sun to us. The corona of the sun is 1 to 2 million degrees temperature, but it's it's separate from the surface of the sun by about 100,000 miles, and the surface of the sun is 8,000 degrees. There's a huge mystery there. How is that that you have a 1 to 2 million degree oven surrounding a body, yet the body inside it is cooler than the outside, and the light is moving from in to out, heating up the whole solar system. NASA doesn't give you answers for that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way that God created light from first cause to radiate to the kingdoms on Earth, but also gave, in the creation of life on the Earth, the ability to use the substance inside their own substance.
Yes.
And
it's information. It's just not light waves, but it contains information that
it's an actual fourth dimensional substance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it has a very feather like weight to it. It does have weight. Fourth dimensional substance does have weight, just like Sir William Crookes in the 1880s did weigh the weight of a soul of a departing person in his laboratory in England.
Mm-hmm.
As 22 grams. And that information was, of course, is not in the textbooks now, but if you really dig for it, you'll find it. There is a weight to etheric substance.
Yes. There were several scientists actually doing experimentation on that. Not very much. And a lot of that was done at the time of death. They would weigh a body before death occurred, and they'd weigh it after death occurred, and there was a very slight difference.
Yes, it was averaged around 22 grams. And Sir William Crookes had hundreds of people will or make a living will as he approached death, and they go into his laboratory and they sit in this bell, almost like a bell jar on a scale, and he'd have self-contained air inside this bell jar. And when they expired, he counted all the breath that they had, and all the everything was contained within, hermetically sealed within that jar, except the soul. And when the soul left, the little scale tilted. And I'm saying that this etheric coronal elements, which is part of the, is the corona of the sun, and also can be the substance for over-unity devices which nature would have us have had the reptilians not stolen away for their evil purposes, and the disempowerment of humanity and the kingdoms, then we would be living tens of thousands of years. In the Bible, there's Adam lived 910 years. 4,000 years ago, Abraham lived 100, almost 200 years. His sister wife Sarah had Isaac at age 100 or age 90. And then the life expectancy dropped off after that. In India and other parts of the world, there's tens of thousands of people who are living breatharians. They eat very little.
Mm-hmm.
And the practice which has brought them into their empowerment is meditating upon the sun as it rises at dawn. And they stare at the sun. And in the meditation, they're actually drawing from the sun etherochoral elements into their bodies. And a small bit, maybe a single atom of the etheric material, goes into the cell and becomes the power source, a permanent power source, like the mitochondria organelles in each cell, and might sit on the that organelle and produce the heat specific to the Krebs cycle energy, which is a very specific photon of light that gives you our body temperature of 98.6. It's a red photon, if you want to know what the color is for it. And photosynthesis, where you have the green leaves, what they're doing is pulling the red light out of the white light and leaving green. And they're using that red light from the sun in a very complex reaction, chemical and transmutation reaction in the cell, the chloroplasts of the plants, to hold and preserve in sugar, simple sugars, the energy of that red photon.
And we know that plants also have a consciousness.
Yes.
Open and close with the rising and the setting of the sun, react to certain types of individuals and their energy fields, especially when they're negative. The plant will exhibit all sorts of problems, including illness or death.
Right. You know, people put very sensitive galvanometers onto plant leaves and be able to read those emotions off the electrical activity of the plant leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what comes to mind, ZS? I don't mean to cut you off. You sounded like you finished that sentence, so I jumped in. While you were talking, I was recalling some of the things that were told to us in science class in school. They would describe inanimate objects as being just matter, dead matter, stones or rocks or mountains, things that are there for a reason and have a purpose. They serve some purpose, but because science doesn't have the answer or doesn't want us to know the answer, doesn't mean that we can't determine those things. I find living things under rocks all the time, you know, in my research. I find snakes and scorpions and every kind of vermin you can imagine.
Yes.
And I'm using a metaphor in a sense, but those rocks are very unhappy about the snakes that are hiding underneath them. You know, they're conscious.
Yes, they are.
And I think you get my point, sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Those who control the finances have bought the science that they want. They bought the science that disenfranchises people from nature,
mm-hmm.
and steals the power and the wonderment of nature from the consciousness. Mm-hmm. People, they don't recognize that they have the power to ask for a storm to move to the north.
Yeah. Ken brought up an interesting thing when he was talking about reality shows. I mean, what kind of reality is that? Is that
unreality shows?
Yeah, well, yes, but I mean, they call them reality shows. You know, they show a bunch of teenagers living, or even, you know, adults living in a house together, being dysfunctional, and somehow this is supposed to have a happy ending, or it's supposed to mean something.
Voting oneself off the island or somebody else off the island.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that. I mean, if you were to go to MTV and watch these people that are just eating and drinking and sleeping with each other, going out to party, getting in all kinds of ridiculous situations that nobody really has time for unless that's all they do in their life. So they're teaching through propaganda and through imagery dysfunctional living. These people are totally dysfunctional.
Yes.
They're dishonest with each other. They're dishonest to themselves. There's no purpose. There's no point in all of this other than how it's being directed against the consciousness of humanity for the purpose of stifling it, you see. And the things you're talking about, understanding these things about nature, these are not myths or, we're speaking in generalities too. We're not getting into the specific physics or mathematics or metaphysics of mm-hmm. of these things. We're making authoritative proclamations based on our experience and our knowledge. And these aren't belief systems either, are they?
No, they're actual experiences, and I could get into detail on the metaphysics of it and tie it into our what we determine or has been called our physics of this day, which is actually a very weak form of physics.
Yes.
And
well, let's do that in a couple of minutes. I want to give the listening audience a chance to sort of absorb everything we've been talking about, and veg out for a couple of minutes.
Well, talking to Ken earlier, he wants to bring a message of hope, and the intent of bringing this ACE, etheric coronal elements, up is to show that the elemental kingdom is being empowered again, and they are packing heat. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will be able to do more and be able to clean up conditions more. An underwater elemental in the Gulf of Mexico with a bit of ACE can transmute the poisons of Corexit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the purposes. And just last week, the Undines received the cure for Corexit, and they'll be able to take the arsenic and what other heavy metals which have been thrown in to kill off the bacteria, which normally would eat the oil seeps from the Gulf Basin and convert it into fish food, will now have assistance from the interdimensional creatures called Undines carrying ACE, enabled through the plant and animal kingdoms that are still living in the ocean, and clear the many, many hundreds of tons of poisons in the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message of hope.
Yeah, before we go on any further, I want to just interject something and just go into a musical interlude for a moment. That's what I was alluding to. Maybe I didn't say it specifically enough. But as one opens up to themselves, as one searches within their heart to understand their true essence, there's a message that comes out. I've experienced this, and I've talked to many, many other people who've had the same awakening. You come to a point where you see yourself as if you're outside yourself, and yet there's a knowing inside. And this happens to be the title of this song I'm going to play here. I Know You.
Singing, don't know me well. Hidden, don't know in there. Hidden, don't know in there. Don't know in there. I don't know you then.
Yes, that's the bliss that Ken was talking about. I was seeing colors all through that. Give me your impressions of that. That again was Mike Stern, by the way, guitarist.
Wow, her voice was absolutely perfect to the notes.
His voice.
His voice?
That's falsetto. Yeah,
falsetto. Oh wow, I thought it was a woman. Just absolutely right to the. Perfectly to the note,
mm-hmm.
And it was comforting, incredibly comforting.
Yeah, it gives
I did not fall asleep, no, but...
yeah, I saw, you know, I see colors in music anyway, but I mean,
yes.
That song definitely is healing, and it's expansive, and it's self-empowering. And it puts you in touch with your real essence. I mean, it's a perfect title. I know you. What does that mean? I know you. Notice it's not saying, I believe in you. I know you.
See? John, if I can interject.
Go ahead. Sure, Ken.
First, the song was wonderful. Beautiful choice, Don. As you said, I felt all the relaxing and comforting feelings that you and ZS both alluded to. Excellent piece. I've never heard that before, so a great performance. I'd like to just add a couple notes about what ZSL has brought up tonight, because I'd like to emphasize it for listeners who have only heard the term tonight for the first time. ZS has been writing about this topic for a few years on my website. There's a number of essays on ZS Livingstone's page. He has his own index page. All his essays are listed there in chronological order as they were sent to me. And if you go there and scroll down, you'll encounter 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 essays that mention the word etheric coronal element, which is abbreviated ACE, A-C-E, in the title of those essays. So if you want to understand more beyond what you heard tonight, it'd be a good idea to read his essays. I like to emphasize that ZS has brought up a new subject that prior to him telling me about it, I've never heard about it in my life. He's talking about an element that is not found on the periodic charts of elements. It's not a third dimensional element. It's an element of the fourth dimension. It surrounds the sun, which is why I suppose he's saying that the sun is so, corona is so much more intensely hot than the surface of the sun, because it is imbued with this fourth dimensional element, etheric coronal element. And what he said in the beginning of the show is that a change has taken place. He didn't go into the details, but he's privy to important information in which he found out that a decision was made to allow the earth elementals, the sylphs in the air who are working so hard to detoxify chemtrails, the undines underwater, the other elementals of the mineral and the plant kingdom, have all been given a gift. This occurred in just the last couple of months. And that gift is that they now, once again, can use and utilize ACE, etheric coronal elements. In olden days, Zias tells me that the Chinese lore about fire-breathing dragons in the air, in fact, referred to sylphs that possessed ACE many thousands of years ago and were literally able to breathe this fire, if you will. And now that the elemental kingdom, including the fire elementals, now have ACE, we're going to start hearing and seeing, witnessing things that are going to be videotaped, and they're going to wind up on YouTube and pictures, and people are going to say, my God, what is that? What's going on here? And what we're going to be seeing is that the elemental kingdom is going to do some serious house cleaning in the coming months and years, utilizing this ACE.
Starting with the Federal Reserve, by any chance?
Or? Well, hopefully. But you're going to see things in which poisons that have been injected into the air, the water, et cetera, are going to be detoxified. And it's going to be because of this this gift that was recently given to the elemental kingdom. Last thing I want to mention in this regard is that I have a link on my website. It's at the top of my page where all my the index pages are. It's titled T. Lopsang Rampa. And it's a wonderful story about a man who was, in fact, a British man, but his body was taken over by the soul of an Asian man who had extraordinary experiences in his life. And during this man's lifetime, he took on the name of T. Lopsang Rampa, changing it from his original British name. He published 17 books. They're very important books. I learned a great deal of metaphysical information, especially from those books. You can obtain them all free online through that link on my website. In many of those books, he talks about, T. Lopsang Rampa talks about visiting ancient caves, mostly in the Himalayas as a young man, in which he discovered the very globes of continuously illuminating light that Zias talked about in the beginning of his talk. I had no idea that they were being, the power source was etheric coronal element. I just learned that tonight. But you'll find the corroboration of what Zias said in the beginning of his talk in the books of T. Lopsang Rampa. I can't remember which specific books, probably Cave of the Ancients will certainly have some. So if you get to read those books, remember what Zia said earlier about those globes, because Lamsang Rampa does talk about that very thing in his books.
I think Third Eye mentioned some of that.
Okay, you might be right. You know, I read them all, but it was quite some time ago. But so anyway, I just wanted to add that bit of corroboration to what the Zias was bringing up tonight.
Mm-hmm. I read those many years ago.
They're terrific books. Those books are wonderful. And that guy was pilloried mercilessly by the British press, especially when he was alive. Mm. He had to leave, in fact. He went first to Ireland to get away from the press, and then he went to Canada because they just wouldn't leave
Calgary.
Him alone.
Calgary he was living in, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear ZS in the background. I take it we've all read those books.
I read the first seven as they're coming to, through the publisher in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I said many years ago, didn't I? have you completed what you wanted to say, Ken? I didn't mean to cut you off there. I just wanted to
emphasize to the new listener the importance of what ZS was bringing out tonight. This is a very important topic. You won't find this anywhere written anywhere, and I'm sure even people in the government and the military are going to pay attention to the show. What he's bringing up is extremely important information. And I'm so glad that he did such a wonderful job broaching this subject tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have many, many listeners in the military around the world. So, you know, we salute you all. And this is known in science. Certain circles of science are aware of this. Nikola Tesla operated in that realm constantly. And I wanted to mention one thing and maybe get ZS to respond. I've always sensed that, and it makes perfect sense, not to use overuse the word, that when we're intuiting things and we're tapping into multi-dimensional realities, those of us that live and let's say nurture our discernment, and that happens by seeking the truth about yourself and about all things. As you gain knowledge, you become more conscious and more susceptible to discerning the other dimensions. Now, how far you're going to be able to do that is, I think, a direct result of how much devotion you put into the practice. It's not that you have to work at anything except going within and then bringing out what's already inside you. We're designed to resonate with these energies you're talking about. And these dimensions permeate each other. It's not like walking up a ladder, per se, that the fourth dimension is in some particular part of space. It interfaces with the other dimensions. They all
dovetail together.
Yes, that's the point I wanted to make. Do you want to expound on that in the sense
the fourth dimension is permeating us. It's a ghost permeating through our physical body, and it is the auric body around that some people can see. But also very Krillian photography can take pictures of the fourth dimension.
And the etheric body, too.
Etheric body, yeah.
Yeah.
And we do not have equipment right now to photograph the fifth dimensional body, but it'd be a very large body around encompassing the fourth dimensional body. So it's a nesting doll of different energies. One after, around the other, holding the conscious awareness into the physical dimension.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the perception of multidimensionality or higher dimensions is commensurate with harmonization with those frequencies? In other words, if you're living in a state of discord,
you wouldn't be able to connect with your higher self.
So folks. Ladies and gentlemen, when you think about what ZS just said, if you focus yourself on on blending with the universe and connecting with it, understanding it, and acting upon that rather than just some obtuse thing that's off to the side. And you're interested for 5 minutes in looking at it, and then you don't get your results, so you turn away and say, well, there's nothing there. That doesn't work. It doesn't happen that way. You have to put in intention, and you have to become devoted and disciplined at it. But it's not difficult to do, is it, GS?
No, it's many years of work. It's also you have to detoxify your thought field and also your physical body to be able to accept the energies and work with them easily. If you're trying to force yourself to work with higher dimensions, it'd be like knocking your head against a brick wall. And a lot of people who are new to trying to get into the information as fast as they can do knock their head against a brick wall, and often they will give up.
Mm-hmm. There are those that it's like a person that will go to a psychic, and I'm not saying there aren't good or well-intentioned psychics out there, but they go to the psychic to get answers about themselves. And they give their power away, you see.
Right. And they should be able, through their own inner meditation, their thinking meditation, be able to remember who they are. A lot of the information comes through with a triggered emotion,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be joy or peace or happiness. And when you fully encompass that emotion, then you remember and you pierce through the veil and look into the next dimension and get a glimpse of what's actually happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
A psychic is usually somebody who's has that type of ability, but they only a few psychics actually can work with the higher dimensional energy and work into the dimensions in a meaningful way to bring that information to others so that they will understand it and work with it.
Yes.
So it's a balancing act.
It's a matter of integrity and intention too.
Yes.
If your goal is to get rich by telling people things they want to hear, whether they're true or not, you're just creating a lot of karma for yourself.
Yeah, you have to answer for your lies.
But the person who is allowing the other to make all the decisions for them is also creating karma for themselves too.
Yeah, it's a tangle.
They have to come back eventually and learn responsibility, don't they?
Yes.
And that may occur within this lifetime.
There's a lot of instant karma happening in this time period.
Yeah, exactly. I think the counter to what's being done to us.
Well, my perspective on karma is actually it's the higher self teaching the physical conscious awareness what the truth is, and it becomes a school of hard knocks when you are not seeing the answers properly, or you're cutting the answers off from your own consciousness, and therefore you end up with heavy karma.
Or paying attention.
Paying attention, yeah.
You know.
What you call heavy karma, but actually it's your higher self trying to get through to you.
Yeah. Well, I use the term loosely. A lot of people, you know, it's the law of cause and effect.
Right.
At work.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. And merry-go-rounds do that too.
And a lot of people are on a merry-go-round. In this respect, they spend a lot of time going nowhere.
Yeah, and who's powering that merry-go-round, or what is powering that merry-go-round?
Well, of course, the whole educational system that's been set up through the reptilian control of the planet is keeping people spinning their wheels.
It's a belief system, isn't it, really?
Yes, yes it is.
Yeah, I think they should, and it's... Even more so than that, it's indoctrination. It's not really educational. There is nothing in education that's empowering the true essence of a human being.
Mm-hmm. I had to leave university when I realized there was nothing there for me. I had to follow my teacher, who actually is the inner self. I was fortunate to be at a stage in my life that I could hear what he had to say. And I'm saying many of the same words and same expressions that he gave to me 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Did you give him a name or?
David Lightstar Livingstone.
I see.
He was born in Kingston, Ontario in 1920. And he's another person who met up with Walter Russell.
Yes, we've discussed Russell on some past shows recently.
And immediately understood where Russell was coming from. He also, David Livingstone also met up with Einstein in 1955, just before Einstein died at Princeton University. He also met up with Yogananda in 1951 in Southern California before Yogananda shuffled off the mortar coil, and he met many of the of those people who were hidden, who carried conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
During that time period, when meeting up with Yogananda, he also met up with George Van Tassel and was out in the Joshua Tree in the desert behind Los Angeles there with George Van Tassel and Bob Beck talking to UFO, talking to...
To the UFO or to the people in it?
To the people in it.
Oh.
But he actually had to flee back to Canada a couple of years later when they found out he didn't have any... He didn't have a green card. He didn't have a pink card. He didn't have any card.
I think they're handing out pink cards now, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Paramahansa Yogananda. Don't you find it interesting that someone from an Eastern part of the world, you know, the Far East, we'll say, which is primarily Buddhist or Hindu, spoke and prayed and composed prayers devoted to Christ and to the Christ consciousness?
It's very interesting. Well, if you read the book by Masters of the Far East by Sprague, forgetting his name right now, there's a book series of six books that were written in the 1910s, 1920s, where this man traveled to the Himalayas, Nepal, and into Tibet, and actually met up with Christ and other masters of that era or that age, and living and working in the area where they call the Huna and the higher valleys of the Himalayas and the Ganges.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a hidden tradition of people who've hidden away, where the whole rest of the world is dispossessed of its spiritual power, but hidden in the high valleys, away from the armies, away from the those who had tried to kill them. Are masters who know the answers, and they could be living right down the street from you in Cleveland there. In fact, I do know that there are some living near living near you.
There's one in my place. No, I'm just kidding.
That's you, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's one of his animals, but we won't go into that today. If I just might add something, though, because I just wanted to, since you brought up the story of George Van Tassel in Yogananda, et cetera, yes, I had spent about 2 weeks in Joshua Tree. I think it was 2002, the summer of 2002, and I spent a long time interviewing a man named Daniel Boone, who may still be alive. I'm not sure.
He was a close associate.
Yeah, his real name is Daniel Boone. He was a close associate of both George Van Tassel. In fact, he was his principal, let's say, right-hand man during all the years that he was working on, you know, all the years that they had the meetings there at Giant Rock and they were building the Integratron. Daniel Boone was his right-hand man throughout that time. But what's interesting is Daniel Boone's earlier work, if you will, was with Yogananda's group. He was definitely a disciple of Yogananda, and there's a lot of wonderful information about Daniel in a book that I recently was sent to me by my good friend Tim Hicks. The name of the book is Christ Consciousness, and it's written by a man named Paulson.
Yes,
and Are you familiar with the book?
Yes, I have it.
Oh, isn't that something? Well, you'll read a great deal about the early years there with Yogananda, and Daniel Boone's name comes up again and again and again. And I did quite a bit of interviewing with Daniel in the summer of 2002, and someday I want to put that whole story together. He told me wonderful stories. You know, Paulson married one of the daughters of George Van Tassel, as did Daniel Boone. So there's a familial connection there with George's life, but it's a wonderful story, and the fact that it's tied in with Yogananda makes it even more extraordinary. Daniel is as much a, let's say, average man as anybody I've known. When I was out there the whole time I was interviewing him, he likes to drink beer, and he would sit out and beer-chested outside his trailer and drinking a beer the whole time he's talking. So he's a very down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth type guy. And yet he has this strong connection, connection with Yogananda and Kriya Yoga and the whole nine yards. Daniel Boone went into the Korean War, and he had a visitation, a manifestation of Yogananda on the day he died. And Yogananda, as you both well know, I'm sure, predicted well in advance, some months in advance, he was going to leave, and he picked a particular date there in which he was giving a talk at a hotel in Los Angeles to depart. This man was able to consciously depart his body. He had an immense amount of let's say spiritual advancement, and after he had died, the medical examiner who looked after his body in the next 2 or 3 weeks found and wrote a report to the effect that his body did not corrupt. In other words, it did not enter the normal stages of
decay.
Decay, exactly. And they buried him in that state. In fact, I went to visit his gravesite some years ago. He's up at Forest Lawn. And my guess is if they would open his casket, they would find him perfectly preserved. So I just wanted to add those thoughts about Yogananda and George Van Tassel and Daniel Boone.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, gentlemen, we're about out of time. I want to give each of you a 1 minute to make a closing comment. Leave our listening audience with a feeling that there are solutions. There are solutions. You got to be way outside the box, folks, to see this. Okay, but it's possible. The music hopefully took you there tonight. And
absolutely. Let me just conclude with that. That was the point of the show. There's going to be a lot of really big deal things that are going to happen over the next weeks and months. There's definitely going to be large political upheavals. Big things might happen. Obama might be kicked out of office before 2012. I mean, there's going to be big things happening. There might be major earth changes, but if the ones that are being artificially created, like perhaps the Christchurch earthquakes recently were artificially created, we can affect that. We can affect that with our thoughts. So if we don't want the bad guys to be ripping the new Madrid Fault from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico, we have to think about that. We can thwart their plans. We can throw a monkey wrench into all their plans by merely thinking positive thoughts about a positive outcome. We're not going to have a major break earthquake in the New Madrid Fault. California is also not going to have a major quake, which they've been planning for quite some time. And I put in a special request to some special friends to see to it, since I'm here, that California remains intact. So we can address and we can change and we can thwart these negative agendas. So you got to engage, though. You got to actually try to do it. Don't just passively observe. Get into the game. Think positively and start thinking about what you're going to actively do to change the picture. And
well said.
I'll stop.
I agree. I agree with you, Ken. ZS, your comment or comments.
I'm really bursting with hope that there's going to be an incredible display of spiritual power from the elemental kingdom to demonstrate the healing of the earth. I know that with the amount of ace that's been given to the air elementals, there will be some very incredible pictures of glowing, very large glowing orbs in the sky in the next few months. They're going to be transmuting chemtrails at a very, very quick rate, as if the chemtrails weren't even laid out in the sky. They'll be gone. And so that toxicity will be gone. And other toxicities will be taken from inside the earth. And giving ace back to the earth elementals who've actually maintained possession of it deep within the earth for a long period of time will make it possible for them to do work on the fault lines, the New Madrid fault lines and the San Andreas, and relieve pressure through the application of this substance from the sun. They can melt and make small earthquakes instead of having large earthquakes.
Yes. Ken mentioned Christ Church. Don't you find it interesting that a town named Christ Church,
with a lot of beautiful churches that are now
suffered this. See, this is it's spiritual warfare is what this is.
Yes.
Ultimately. Tonight we talked about the nature spirits, the spirit that's permeating the whole of the universe, the whole of the creation. And you have that within you, ladies and gentlemen. That's in your heart, aching to get out. The answers you're looking for, the things that will make you happy, the things that will help you understand who you are and who everyone else is. Not all the answers, but as much as you're willing to put into it, that's what you're going to get back. Both of my guests alluded to that if you put out the good vibes, the positive thoughts, but these have to come from within you, and that they're aching to get out through your heart center. You learn to open up your heart center. You can connect with your thoughts. Your thoughts now become of a higher vibration, and they become multidimensional, and you become a whole being, not something that's doing. You become a being who you were created to be, and even greater than that. There's no limitation on it, on who you can be or who you can become. Gentlemen, don't mean to preach, but I've tried to summarize my feelings up, and you guys were excellent guests to have on the show to talk about these very difficult topics. Difficult because we're not paying attention to them, but simple when put to work. I want to thank you both for being on Evident Footprints, and this being a short month and us having a limited number of shows this month, I won't see you guys until the next time on the show. Hopefully you'll both come back in March. Can I pin you on that one?
Oh, sure. Of course, Don. Absolutely. Yes, you can. Thank you for all your comments as well tonight. I really enjoyed hearing what you had to say as well.
Well, yeah, thank you. I'm torn, you know, because the message I thought went so well with the music and vice versa. Sometimes we need to listen to something that takes us out of these programs we're in, this repetition that you turn your car radio on and you're going to hear the song on your way to work that you heard the night before coming home from work. You know, this addiction to the programming. We've become addicted to that which is destroying us or would destroy us. Mm-hmm. And we have to get back into the creative process. I really appreciate what you've done. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Ken Adachi and Zuranova Star Livingstone. You can read both of their work at Ken's website, educate-yourself.org. And they will be back in March, I can guarantee that. Gentlemen, have a good night. Thanks for being on the show, and I look forward to the next time.
Good night, Dan.
Good night.
Okay. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our guests, Ken Adachi and Zuranova Star Livingstone. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be my co-host, scientist, inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.